So welcome, everyone. Thanks for coming out in this strange early spring torrent. My name is McGregor Card. I program the Monday nights at the Poetry Project, and I'm gonna introduce our panelists, and then we'll get started. Anne Waldman, over here, is a poet. Performer, professor, co-founder of the Kerouac School of Disembodied Poetics at Nairobi University, and one of the founders and designers of the Poetry Project since its inception in 1966, editor of three anthologies from the Poetry Project's The World magazine, as well as Nice to See You, the homage to Ted Berrigan anthology. Publishers Weekly has deemed her a countercultural giant, and Allen Ginsberg called her his spiritual wife. Much of her life parallel to her voluminous work as a writer has been developing and helping sustain poetry cultures. Anne began working at the Poetry Project in 1966, age 21, hired as one of Joel Oppenheimer's assistants with Joel Sloman, and by 1968 was the project's director, a position she held officially until 1976. She is the author of over 40 books of poetry, including the recent book-length hybrid poem Manatee Humanity from Penguin 2009, and the 1,000-page feminist epic, The Eovis Trilogy, Colors in the Mechanism of Concealment, due from Coffee House, 2011. Her play Red Noir was directed by Judith Molina and produced by the Living Theater in New York City, running for 2.5 months in the winter of 2010. She's also collaborated on several scripts with filmmaker Ed Bowes?
Bowes.
With Ed Bowes, including Entanglement and several CDs, Eye of the Falcon, Matching Half, with her son, musician-composer Ambrose Bai. Waldman is currently the chair and artistic director of Naropa's Summer Writing Program, a recipient of the Shelley Memorial Award from the Poetry Society of America. She's recently been appointed a chancellor at the Academy of American Poets. I didn't know that. Her Pounditorio, Cyborg on the Zatare, with music by Stephen Taylor, will be presented at the Douglas Dunn Salon, 541 Broadway, on April 29 and 30th at 8 p.m. With singer-musicians, dancers, and selections from Pound's Pisan Cantos. She's been working on a next CD with Ambrose Bai, The Milk of Universal Kindness, and a new movie with Ed Bowes, and an anthology entitled Cultural Rhizomes at Naropa. Ron Padgett, over here, jump one. Was the Poetry Project's artistic director from 1978 to 1980, and prior to that, he was the first editor of the Poetry Project newsletter from 72 to 73. His books include the poetry collections How Long, How to Be Perfect, You Never Know, Great Balls of Fire, and new and selected poems, as well as three memoirs, Ted, a personal memoir of Ted Berrigan, Oklahoma Tough, My Father, King of the Tulsa Bootleggers, and Joe, a memoir of Joe Brainard. His translations include Blaise Cendrars' Complete Poems, Guillaume Apollinaire's Poet Assassinated, Valerie Larbeau's Poems of A.O. Barnabuth with Bill Zavatsky, and Yu Jian's Flashcards with Wang Ping. He's collaborated with artists Jim Dine, Alex Katz, George Schneemann, and Joe Brainard. For 10 years, he worked as a poetry writing teacher, and for 20 years, he was the publications director of Teachers and Writers Collaborative. Padgett has received Fulbright, NEA, Guggenheim, and Civitella Ranieri grants and fellowships, and was named officer in the Order of Arts and Letters by the French government. In 2008, he was elected Chancellor of the Academy of American Poets. He also received the Shelley Memorial Award from the Poetry Society of America. Bernadette Mayer, back one. You all know who these people are. Bernadette Mayer was the Poetry Project director from 1980 to 84. She's the author recently of Studying Hunger Journals and forthcoming a book on the Helens of Troy, New York. She has always taught workshops starting at the Poetry Project before she was director and at her house, wherever it is. Now it's in upstate New York, where it doesn't take long to get out the door, where she can study at the Kinderhook and Tsatsawasa Creeks. On April 1st, there will be a Bernadette Mayer symposium held at SUNY Buffalo. And on May 4th, she will read her new poem, Integrative Paleontology, The Paleontologist is Barefoot Today, at the Guggenheim Museum as part of a show created by the artist collective Future Farmers. Eileen Miles has been touring her Inferno, a poet's novel, since last fall. Inferno's been nominated for a Lambda Book Award and a Faro Grumley Award for LGBT fiction. She's a professor emeritus of writing from UC San Diego. She's published two other books of fiction, Cool for You and Chelsea Girls, and lots of poetry, Sorry Tree, most recently. Not Me was written while she was a Poetry Project director, fall of 84 till December of 86. And Snowflake comes out next year. She writes for Art Forum, Book Forum, and Parquet most recently, lives in the East Village with Leopoldine and Hank. Ed Friedman has worked in various capacities at the Poetry Project. From 1973 to 78, he hosted the Monday Night Reading Performance Series. He served on the advisory board from 1977 to 81. He taught a weekly writing workshop, oh dear, in 78 to 79. From 1987 to 2003, he was the project's artistic director. Among his books of poetry and prose are Mao and Matisse, The Funeral Journal, and Drive Through the Blue Cylinders, as well as collaborations with visual artists The New York Hat Line and Away with Robert Kushner, and La Frontera with Kim McConnell. Anselm Berrigan isn't here for the talk. He's going to be here for the reading. There's a newborn in the family, June Penelope, but I'll read his bio. Anselm was a volunteer at the project in 1996 and 97 before suckering them into hiring him as program assistant in 1988, though Ed Friedman asked him to be Monday night coordinator, which he was, from 98-2001. After that, he taught a workshop, filled in occasionally as host on Wednesdays, took up the associate director position from 2003 to 2007, which was a rewarding, if insane, period, and hosted Wednesdays the whole time. He also wrote a number of pieces for the newsletter, only getting the facts wrong and needing to be publicly corrected twice, and recently taught another workshop while also volunteering extensively at the last New Year's marathon in a bout of wrong but right-headed euphoria. The Parish Hall is his favorite place to hear a reading, sound-wise, and no other venue remotely comes close. His book's Notes from Irrelevance is forthcoming from Wave Books this fall. Okay. And just wanted to apologize. You're going to be hearing some loud booms upstairs. There's performance or rehearsal in progress.
Is that what Anselm meant about a great place to hear readings?
I think that could be what he meant, right? I wish he were here to ask. Maybe we can interrupt his reading. So I'm going to ask three questions of the participants, and we'll just go down the row. Is that
sure?
Sound all right?
We're going in historical order.
And I'm also going to be reading Anselm's answers. They're scripted here, so I'll kind of change hats when we get to the end of the line. First question for Anne, then. What was your driving vision of the Poetry Project when you were the director? What did you do for the organization that you feel best about?
Well, there was a little bit of a context because I had been involved at some events going on in the church. I think the year before, there was the Theater Genesis, and I knew Michael Allen, so there was a little bit of a connection. I was on a work session from Bennington. I think my vision came after going out to Berkeley. So I went out to Berkeley, hitchhiking out there, had my first LSD experience, and took a vow at the famous Charles Olson reading, where he became somewhat unglued. And it was a very exciting time to be there and see all these poets coming together. And I wanted to be part of this culture and part of this community and also help maybe, help build communities. And I had been doing that sort of thing in college, organizing readings, editing magazines, that sort of thing. So, and I had met Lewis Warsh at Berkeley at a Robert Duncan reading, and we started Angel Hair magazine and got back to New York, making more connections with a lot of the poets on the Lower East Side, and then this job became available to assist Joel Oppenheimer. And I had this vision that there was no time in human history or human dimension without poetry, and that poetry needed to be in public space, and that this was something that people don't ask you to be poets, they don't ask you to get organized, but I was interested in this idea of infrastructure poetics and in helping things come together in that way. So the Office of Economic Opportunity under Lyndon Johnson had the grant to help. It was actually developed by a sociologist at the New School to have a grant that would benefit artists and dropouts and hippies on the Lower East Side and kind of work in the community. And there was a template for a kind of arts project because the poets had already been using the space. Paul Blackburn was bringing in, overseeing the open readings after people had moved out of the metro. And then Theater Genesis was happening, as well as jazz concerts and film shows. I remember being here and seeing some of those early Warhol films, and there was already a lot of activity on this site. So the idea was to do something here, and I was hired as an assistant to Joel. I worked on the magazines, The Genre of Silence and The World magazine. I think I was, after the two-year grant was up, I clearly had a lot of energy for the role of director. And I think what I'm proudest of is keeping it going, raising the money, because that grant ended. That was over. That was part of the Great Society, I guess. Was that what Lyndon Johnson called it? That was part of that view. But these things only last a few years. The Great Society was maybe deemed. Anyway, he was retiring. The Vietnam War had done him in. So I think I was proudest of keeping it going, of keeping the magazines going, of opening the doors to a lot of other small presses. The mimeograph machine was liberated and in constant use. We had many, many collation parties in this space. And then the notion of I think bringing in more. I mean, when I got on the scene, Diane Witkowski was around. I think Kathy Fraser, Diane was on a committee that helped decide who would read here, that sort of thing. But I also felt a need to include more women, and found great companionship with Bernadette Mayer and Alice later. Alice had a strong role as leading workshops here and so on. So that was, and then starting the New Year's Day benefit readings. I'm very proud of that those have continued, and that they raised some money for the project. What else? There's so many things that I think got generated in those early days. There was also the notion of taping everything, and that was a transmission from Paul Blackburn, who dutifully lugged his wall and sock here, night after night, week after week. And, of course, I wasn't that good. They weren't great tapes. They weren't state of the art. Many of you know that collection is with the Library of Congress. And, I was not very good about organizing or inventorying and that sort of thing. And it took Ron Padgett to come along and get things more organized. Wouldn't you say that's true?
Yeah.
Bernadette.
What was your driving vision of the Poetry Project, and what was your work that you felt best about?
We had a plan. Bob Holman was my co-director, and what we're trying to do is ally the Poetry Project together with the New Eurekan Poets Cafe. And it worked while we were here, but it didn't work afterwards at all. So just kind of.
What was the reason that it?
Well, I think because we neglected to make stipulations that would keep it continuing, mm-hmm. when we weren't there, because I think that's what you have to do with institutions. What else was I going to say? Oh, warning to future Poetry Project directors: don't ever do a rock and roll benefit.
Oh, yeah.
We made a lot of money, but not worth it. And there's one other thing I wanted to say about the.
It's so tempting to follow that up. What was the rock? Who'd you invite?
Oh, everybody. Okay. It was like Rick Ocasek and the 10,000 Maniacs and. Like, everybody was willing to perform. It's just that it was so complicated to deal with everybody. but something else I was thinking about. Great.
Advice.
What?
More advice?
No, it wasn't that. Well, I'll think of it as we go on.